Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go on the air?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Young people, go on and stand up real quick. Come on. Come on, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew I could be so happy.
Wait. Think I wanna hit the horns.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum, live from Studio A this morning. I tell you, up, down, all around, we are here live this morning. As always, read your African-American newspapers no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. Who could ask for more? Football is in the air. Football is in the air. Let's see what you're going to do this weekend with some grambling in some Prairie View, right here in beautiful, beautiful Dallas, Texas. It is back. Will we do right? Will we wear our masks? What's going on? That's my theme. I think we're going to ride that all the way out through the end of the year. What's going on? So many things to talk about, so little time to do it in. We'll look at the state of the country. We'll look at the vaccines. Are people still taking it, not taking it? What is going on with the cases in Florida? We'll look at some black college football, and we'll open things up. Whatever you want to talk about this morning, we on it. And we're going to be on it all the way through for 2 hours. So just dig in. It's about 11 minutes after the hour. We're going to dig in deep, and we're going to get some things done. Again, welcome to the World According to Drew. We're going to just right away bring in the Prime Minister. And I repeat, the Prime Minister of all of Southeast Dallas. He's working on Southwest Dallas. You know what? We're going to go ahead and just crown him the Prime Minister of everything south of 30. None other than the world-famous Harold Horatio Hubbard. Good morning. Good morning.
Man, I'm so glad you had me muted, man, because I've been over here cracking up.
We're going to just give you everything south of 30. How about that?
All right.
He often imitated but never duplicated. That's the man. Well, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How you feeling?
Oh, man, good. Just you know, always something going on, but, you know, we here.
Yeah.
You know, alarm going off, yeah. Different times, you know, but I get up anyway. But
yeah,
I'm excited today. Beautiful sunny day here in Dallas, Texas. You know, I've been slightly remote last week, slightly.
Yeah.
But I tell you this, man, I appreciate you and what you do to, you know, help the show out. I appreciate you as a friend. This week, you know, you gave me some news. And, man, I'm just still reflecting on a brother that, you know, impacted my life and didn't know him long.
They had a big, you know, alumni get-together yesterday, man, but I had to do some side work. Matter of fact, I'm out remote this morning doing some things, but you know I got to get it in with you. But they're going to have the services this week. We're talking about a good childhood friend of mine by the name of Cedric Scott. Good football player, Prairie View alum. You know, it's kind of, like I say, man, it's all just jumbled together. You got PV Grambling coming this weekend. So a lot of his buddies will be in town that he went to school with. Been hearing a lot of back from him on social media. And, man, like I say, we just need to know that none of our time is promised. None of us know the time, date, or place. There ain't no age limit on it. It's just a matter of what you going to do with the dash. You know, those the dash between your birth date and your going home date. And we hope that we can impact people. I tell you, man, he impacted some people, man. This boy was a great person, might as well say. He could sell you, you know, anything, man. Like they say, he could sell a Eskimo, extra igloo, and a freezer to go with it. So, don't be truly missed. That's all I can say, man. I know you got a chance to, you even told me he came
one
through
of those
that
guys, man.
Smell some car fragrances.
Yeah, he was just one of those guys that kind of grew on me. You know, we talked about when
yeah, charismatic. That was the word I was looking for. Charismatic, you know.
Oh yeah. And you know, we met. He was at work, and I just thought, you know, we had some of the same friends. You were
yeah
common denominator.
Uh huh.
And for names out there from some people I knew from Rebel Velvet. Y'all always light up to mention one name.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was part of that Mustang family.
Yes, sir. You know, we take all surrogates, man. I didn't make it to this one yesterday, but we had one last year, man. I think it was people from every school in Oak Cliff.
And wow, who was that?
They either done married into the Mustang family or they just hang out with us. South Oak Cliff, Kimball, Carter. We even had some Skyline, a lot of Skyline, actually. But, you know, back then, Skyline was basically a magnet.
Right, but you can say this, that several years ago when we were in school, basically we were all that we had. We had each other. And it might have been some common things through church, school, of course, that, you know, grab people together. It's just that that we can say in any town where we gravitated to each other. And now so many schools, so many communities, the kids may know each other through the medium of TikTok and all of that now. Can you imagine if we had TikTok and computers the way we were? And we do good. We did good without them.
That's what I say. It'll be a lot more people getting in trouble.
Yeah. Well, thank God for that. And I know our parents, those who we still are living, I know they happy. They didn't have what we had. You know, party line. We ain't have no party line. Now, we barely got a phone at the house. Some people still do. But I'm wondering, I wish I knew somebody had a house phone. Is it going to the answering service, or is technology to a point where you can record, somebody can just talk, and it's in line? Boy, I don't even know. I haven't had a landline in so long.
You know, the sad thing about it is I got one now, and I let the receiver stay off the hook so it won't be charged, because don't nobody call me on that. It just came with the cable. I don't even know the phone number.
Well, one day it rings and show up on your television, I think you need to just pick it up and just say, who'd you call?
Who'd
you call?
Crazy. That is crazy, man.
But
anyway, we got all the technology, man. I'm just hoping we can use it for the good, the betterment of the people.
Well, I hope our young folks can use it to be resourceful. You know, oftentimes a lot of kids, they want to TikTok, they want to everything locked, and Instagram this, Instagram that. I just hope they utilize it, because they're kids, and I have one myself, who they are excited about 1,000 likes. And, you know, we just hope somebody read out at least once. They talking about 2,000. And I asked, are you doing it to be informative or just popular? Well, you know the answer to that. I don't even have to answer that one. It's about the popularity that they're looking for. But as I open up, I always read the African American newspapers. The one that we are featuring today is Demetria McCain. She is the Deputy Assistant Secretary, Office of Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity, another acronym for HUD. So we are happy to celebrate her. She's a superb woman. She serves as president of an inclusive committee project, the Affordable Fair Housing Nonprofit in Dallas, Texas. Skilled in nonprofit management, community engagement, community outreach, public speaking, and public policy. Demetria is an educator who served as a staff attorney for the National Housing Law Project and Neighborhood Legal Services Program. She's a graduate of Arts Magnet High School a native Dallasite, received a bachelor's in fine arts from New York University and a master in fine arts from the City University in New York. She went on to Brooklyn College, where she, and then she received a Juris Doctorate from Howard, the mighty Howard University in Washington, D.C. She served on the board of the National Housing Law Project, North Texas Fair Housing Center, Poverty and Race Research Action Council. This mother and community servant is a member of Delta Sigma Theta, and she also volunteered for the League of Women Voters of Dallas. She is our superb woman, and you can read this. There's a lot of things going on if you read Texas Metro News. That's what we do. We have our ear to the wall, trying to make sure that we are informed as a community, even though that community has spread it from ear to ear. Not ear to ear, ear to ear. That's our community. And Harold,
yeah.
I tell you, boy, Darius Talbert was a name. Used to be from Heaven 97. Now she's married.
Okay.
She's a mother. Yeah, she's out there running. I mean, it's a lot of things going on.
But, hey, I'm going to say this, and I ain't going to bite my tongue. There's a few things that's consistent about this show. One, of course, being the great alma mater of both you and Cheryl. Can't leave that out. You can be a member of one of two organizations. You can be a Kappa, or you can definitely be a Delta. But if you associated with any three of them organizations, you will not have a hard time getting you a highlight on this hero show. Am I right about it?
Well, that's what paying the bills. Well, don't forget, look, Mocha Cosmetic out there,
yeah.
Young lady, used to be over in Dallas. Now she's down in Red Oak, from what I understand.
Uh-huh.
You know, we keep our ear on the street as much as we can.
That's right.
I mentioned earlier, next Saturday at the Cotton Bowl. So go and get your hair did, get your makeup done. It's going to be on and popping. And, Harold, I don't know if you remember, I wrote an article about black college football. It ain't so much the game. It's not so much the band, which is very important. It's the pageantry associated with black college football. Most people dressed up just to be seen. And some may be heard, may not watch the game, but they'll watch halftime and give their reports of what they think should be done. So HBCUs, the popularity is picking up worldwide, and it should be a good one. Both schools are struggling somewhat, but you can throw all the records out of the books. On next weekend, because it's the Panthers and the Tiger. It's a cat fight.
Yeah.
Nobody ever
but you know,
like it's cat fight in the,
you know what?
In the bowl.
That's just
go
like
ahead.
Every year, no matter what the records are between the Cowboys and Washington football team. This is the same thing we have on the college level. Like you said, it don't matter what the records are. You know you're going to get a good game, and you're going to get a great halftime.
I was laughing.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It's a new sheriff. There's a new sheriff in town now.
Yeah.
It's called Florida A&M.
See?
Florida A&M's a sheriff with the swag. We play these same Grambling Tigers down in Tallahassee. Boy, it's going to be a dog-cat snake fight, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Our famous motto, put some venom in them. Oh, we got
it. Yeah.
Right. It's going to be nice. Now, those going down to Tallahassee, let me tell you, it's no different than when you go to New Orleans. I don't know how Dallas is treating people who are coming to town. But New Orleans, the worst. Tallahassee, probably a close second. Of gouging prices for these black college games when you come to town for these hotels. Why are we still participating? Now, the reason I say that, if they're gouging rooms that you can find in Dayhill for $99, $150, I'll pay that. But some of these rooms are doubled and tripled, $300 a night. Motel 6, Harold, $150.
Oh, man.
And they say they'll leave the light on.
I guess they left the light on. They got to pay their electric bill.
Well, it's supply and demand. There are more hotels that are coming up in Tallahassee. And some of them are keeping it down. But still, why are you raising? And help me out. Linfield Inn. Don't act like y'all are folks on Linfield. Don't act like y'all don't know where that folks is. If it was at Tallahassee, they going to charge $200 a night.
No.
I would sleep in my car.
Yeah, you might as well.
In my car.
If you
I had to let the floor come out in for a little bit.
If they getting $200 for something like the Linfield, they need to go to jail.
But that's what they're doing. They're gouging their price because we know we're going to go to the game. We're going to have some liquid spirits.
Yeah.
You got what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay. And you can call it libations, yes. And liquid spirits. And so some people don't even use chaser when they go to the game. You go with $5 in your pocket, but you had every party. There are every party. If you're not inside, you're outside, greet the people like you the host.
Oh, they parking lot pimping.
Thank you. I like that. We're going to have a lot of parking lot pimping. Now, that's at homecoming. It's going to be some parking lot pimping, but you got to pay to get in the parking lot at Fair Park. So it's not like you're going to pay to pimp. But
hey,
that's the pageant
Andrew.
Black collar. That is, you know, a lot of you say, well, it's a lot of emphasis on black colleges right now, and it is. But right here in Dallas, and the uniqueness of having this Grambling Prairie View, and I've been here at least 30 years. It's been going on. Even when they didn't have a football, they brought in, the Prairie View, and Prairie View wasn't playing or Grambling wasn't playing. They brought in other games. It didn't go as well, but I tell you, those folks from Baton Rouge, they definitely know how to travel.
Yeah.
And when they had Southern playing Texas Southern, you would have thought that they would have had a little bit more support with TSU. And they were, 4 hours down the road. But there are a big contingency of Southern University graduates in the Metroplex that they showed up and showed out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to find a place to play. Southern will probably outdo us. We want to bring Jackson State. But Jackson State and FAMU just signed two additional years to play down in Miami. So that's going to be interesting.
Hey,
then,
you know what?
Coach Franklin will be there. I got a feeling he's not going to be there maybe 2 years, kind of learn what he's doing.
Go Andrew, ahead. Something I just heard this morning. Man, did you hear? Catch any wind of Florida State is having a down year, okay?
Right.
They real hard on this coach. Why are they throwing Prime's name around as a coach, man?
Well, I think all roads were ending there anyway. That's why he went on and finished. You know, he left early for a lucrative career in the National Football League. He played professional baseball.
Uh-huh.
He knew if he knew if he wanted to be a big-time coach, he had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So he went and got his degree, finished up his degree at Tougaloo. Now, if you know Tougaloo, Tougaloo is just a suburb of Jackson, Mississippi.
Now, oh, I thought that was Tougaloo.
I am going to just spell it out for you, and I'm going to let you connect the dots. We at Jackson State cannot give Prime Time a degree and hire him.
Oh,
well, let's talk to the local up the street down the corner. You get your degree there, and we'll bring you on into Jackson, the other side of Jackson.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Now, you have your degree. You got your degree. You got a head football team. Your mouthpiece has been his greatest gift other than his legs. He's bringing notoriety back to HBCUs. Florida State's struggling. They just got rid of a brother that was the head coach, Coach Taggart, for $20 million to get him out of town, Harold.
Dang. Fire me.
He's a Florida guy. That coach in Oregon, okay, that's a big program out west, came to Florida State to be back in his home state. He wasn't winning. He won them about two or three seasons, maybe two. They got rid of him, paid him $20 million to get out of town.
Mm.
They bring in.
Fire me.
Hire all of us. Hire all of us and fire us.
Yeah.
But bringing a gentleman that had a nice pedigree, he had that badge of beige, and he's not winning. So what booster is going to step up and pay him $25 million because they can't pay him what they paid Willie. See, Willie had that good old-fashioned name. It wasn't Bernard, William, Roger, just plain old Willie. $20 million, hell. You know what? If they were giving me that kind of money, I would have left everything. They would have had to move my stuff out themselves. I would have bought everything new. I would have left everything there that needed to be left in Tallahassee. And can you imagine making $1 million in a city where you can make $70,000 and live pretty good?
That's remarkable.
I mean, feel good. Cost of living is low. State government is kind of like Austin. The only difference between Austin and Tallahassee, Austin is a little big, but Austin is a mecca for computers, high-tech industry. And Austin, right now, the only reason I didn't move to Austin years ago, I couldn't stand the traffic. One major thoroughway in Austin. And if you're to the east of that highway, guess who live on the east side of Austin? Us. Martin Luther King run right by the Capitol, right through the campus of UT. But it also, you know, it runs through our neighborhood. They
I
have the softball field and the baseball field on east Austin. So, but you know,
yeah,
they're trying to buy it all the way down, get the east and west side of Austin, Texas. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's how they do us all the way where you go.
Uh-huh.
So we, folks, we must be aware of what is going on around us. We are getting pimped, no matter how you look at it, Harold. It's so true. Getting pimped. P-I-M-P-E-D.
I don't know what you heard about me.
Go ahead. Finish it up. You're trying to be a P-I-M-P. We have somebody in. I apologize. Harold and I are just going on from the 404. Good morning. Welcome to the World According to Drew. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. I see y'all talking about my school and Dion.
We know how to shake them trees, though. Andrew, you shake them trees, eventually a nut gonna fall out.
Yeah, and the squirrel don't find it. The squirrel will know about it.
Yeah, exactly. We having problems with football all across the state, although Florida should have beat Alabama.
Yeah, they should have. And even in Tampa, we know who won the game. FAMU is always undefeated when I get a score. But had a good showing against South Florida. South Florida wasn't that strong.
Okay.
Had a very good showing.
Central Florida
but,
or South Florida?
South Florida.
Oh, okay.
They played in my hometown yesterday. So we'll touch that at the top of the hour. But, Mark, we all know, now, Harold, we're going to put our thinking hats on for a minute. We all know that we matriculated in the city of Tallahassee. The only thing separating Florida State from FAMU is the train track. My daughter had to remind me last weekend that my grandmother always talked about it, how they had enough money to put my mom on the train to go to Tallahassee. Now, they never did say it. I used to see it. My grandfolks had a little money. Because, you know, you ride the bus, you do everything. But she used to ride the train. Sometimes they would drive her to Jacksonville. Don't ask me why. It's kind of out of the way. And catch that east-west train into Tallahassee. She had to walk up that hill, for those who know how Tallahassee is built. And that's how she got to school. And she always said the reason she stayed on her course because she never wanted to get on that train to go back to Tampa. That was the motivation. But I say that to say this. That train tracks have been very, very significant in USA or in our country of America. You're either on one side or the other. Speaking of Florida State, I was shocked when they got Tiger as a head coach. I've always felt you have programs with a lot of brothers. I think sometimes the brothers may be able to communicate with a brother. But some of them may feel that the non-brother is the way to go as far as coaching.
Tiger was too ghetto.
Well, they could say that by you and I.
He had all the rap music and practice and all that foolishness. They didn't have the discipline. And some of the older FSU players like Jesse Solomon, he talked about that stuff.
But again, where did Jesse grow up?
Milton. No.
Okay, how big is
Milton?
He's from the Pensacola area. Yeah. He's from that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, man, let me get on Jesse Solomon. I like Jesse. But was he ghetto when he stuck his hand out and Jerry Jones didn't shake it? He held out with the Cowboys for a couple of years. And then he came in on a little private plane. He went to shake Jerry's hand. Jerry pulled his hand back like to say, you sure cost me a lot of money to bring you in here.
Mm-hmm.
Ghetto. Now, I know a lot of people oppose rap music. I understand that. I think
but he ain't no coach.
He's
not a coach. He was a player.
Huh?
He's not a coach. He was a player. Well, he wasn't a big league coach. He's a high school coach.
I understand what you're saying. But when you have a team full of brothers, and I know Bowden's grandson, and what was the guy named Bernie? Who was the president when you were there? Bernie somebody.
Ernie Slager.
Slager, thank you. So when their kids were there, maybe they were playing a little bit more Leonard Skinner, We Are the World type music. But then when you get in a locker room full of brothers, all right, it's got to be an easy, some type of normalcy or equilibrium with music. Now, Dion has posted, either on Facebook, Instagram, whatever the social media. And you need to look at it. It's Sunday morning. I can't even say half the words.
Mm-hmm.
But he danced. Prayer time. Hallelujah, mm-hmm. Jesus. I ain't picking.
Mm-hmm.
He trying to reach his kids. Now, he does have a few white kids on his squad. And you know when we've had whites at black schools, they kind of adapt to the music. When we have brothers and sisters go to predominantly white schools, they adapt to the masses, so to speak. So just to say the music, that's poor.
Mm-hmm.
What did Jimbo listen to? When Jimbo left that program in a shambles, it was jacked up when Willie got there. But they want to blame Willie? Now they're going to blame Willie now that he's gone, that they ended up winning because Willie did with too.
Well,
see, we take
no,
blame.
I blame Willie for trying to change the system, changing something that was working, to bring his own system in there that just failed. The way he did it, you shouldn't have done
like
it.
The true love. You got to bring in your own system. I can't win with Bobby Bowden's system. Bobby Bowden's system was gone when Jimbo left.
He tried to bring in your boy's system from FAMU. That was Billy Joe's offense.
Who? For the coach that they got rid of, the brother?
Mm-hmm.
The West Coast offense?
Mm-hmm.
Running shoot?
No, it wasn't the West Coast. Gulf Coast.
Well, only it's the same principle, but they call it Gulf Coast because he was over in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only difference. This is location change.
But that was Billy Joe's offense.
Right. But that's okay. There are a lot of offenses that teams are using that they've adopted. When you look at Rick Leach and all these older coaches, they still running spreads. And the kids can't even adapt to it, but they keep running it. But when a brother come in, why is his leash shorter? At a big old school, they knew Jimbo could not handle all those brothers at FSU. At FSU, if you look at the roster, Mark, it almost looked like the roster was the other side of the train track. He was getting everybody from Manatee, Miami, West Palm. He was recruited down the U.S.
This coach did all right also with his transfer concept. But you got to get some players that's going to pretty much stay loyal to the school, you know, even though ain't no loyalty in this business these days no more.
Well, you just answered
with
the
all
question.
These transfer portals and all this foolishness, ain't no more loyalty.
Right, but you're asking kids to be loyal in an unloyal system.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, we always have to be better than good. with your black coach at any level in college. You can sit up and lose all your basketball games. You'll be back today.
Somebody was saying last night they want Nick Saban here for not beating, not blowing Florida out. What kind of junk is that?
Well, Florida's struggling, but Alabama, sometimes you play down to your level. You go in here thinking, oh, we got this. We'll have to go 100%. Let's go by 95. 90. Well, that 95, that's a big drop-off from this.
Mm-hmm.
And they barely beat Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mark, and I understand what you're saying, but it's hard. Why do we have to walk a straighter line with your black head coach? Why? And let's get it closer to Dallas. Let's go to Austin. Mack Brown, who is the head coach of University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He left University of Texas in a mess. A mess. Mm-hmm. God bless Cedric Benson's heart, who died. Cedric could do no wrong in the Travis County, which is awesome. Ricky Williams couldn't do nothing wrong in Travis County. Okay? I just called too. And you know, Ricky, he had his own anesthesia. He rolled it up and smoked it. All right? All of that.
Hey, man. Hey. You leave my Longhorns alone.
But the point I'm trying to raise, Harold, when the brother came in, they already said that he wasn't good enough. He should be only an office coordinator. Didn't know his pedigree of working with Urban Meyer. He was a head coach at Louisville. He had South Florida roots, or the state of Florida roots, where he was getting kids. He even drafted a kid from Tallahassee, Mark, to play out here for the Longhorns. And you know who grandson he was?
Who that?
Well, grandson. Dr. White in Tallahassee. His
grandson
recruited to University of Texas. Had a good career.
Mm-hmm.
But they shamed the brother. Shamed him. Said he wasn't coach. He was only an offensive coordinator. Well, how about the guy at USC? They just fired him. But they give him money to send him to the house. But he can't win. The demographics of football is changing. Let me just come up with a phrase. There are a lot of suns that are setting on these programs, these major programs across this country. And what I mean by the sun is shining. It's not as bright. It's getting darker. All right, y'all know where I'm going with this. Every major program is getting darker. And if you can't reach these kids, you're not going to keep them. Alabama's a factor. These kids come in 2-3 years at that, they go to the NFL. Amari Cooper, Julio Jones, Wrigley. You see what I'm saying? I call that a whole family, bro. They go to Alabama for the notoriety. But they're not there for education. They try to step up to the league. Do we ever say anything about Nick Saban? Let's look at his graduation rate. But yet, we can get on FAMU. We can get on Southern about not graduating kids that have been there 4 years. Have we even looked at the programs where the kids are going into? Or three, declare. Did Dion graduate when he left Florida State? Nope. Did Derrick Brooks? I don't think so. But they go back go in the back door, whatever they have to do. Mark, we've been pimps for a long time. And my best story I can tell you, Dexter Manley out of Houston, Texas, has a degree, a degree from the Oklahoma State University, sneaking into elementary school at night, trying to learn
Dexter
how to read.
Dexter couldn't even spell cat.
Even if they gave him the C and the T, he couldn't spell
it. Y'all wrong with that, man.
But when they blew that whistle, Harold, when they blew that whistle, he knew what to do. How many of these coaches have lied and said to these parents, we're going to make sure your baby get an education. Now, how they may get it could be in a different fashion. We just show up. Get a teacher some tickets to the game. And we're going to get you out of that class. It's just not Dexter Manley. There was a guy named Gary Anderson out of Arkansas. Probably the best feat I've ever seen on a running back. I'm talking about better than Emmitt. Emmitt kind of went, he had a line. Barry Sanders had good feet. Gale Sayers had good feet. But Gary Anderson, he was just poetry in motion when he ran. The boy signed a contract. He didn't even realize what he was signing. He just signed it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't recognize his own name in print. That's how bad it was. Now, I can say sometimes at these HBCUs, these kids are graduating close to graduation because the level of football, they know I'm not, you know, is not the highest level. But they're also becoming student athletes. That's why right now, hate is such a strong word. But I hate what they're doing with the NCAA as far as basketball. I could come and take a class in the summer. I could take a class in the fall. By March, if I had a good year, I could declare for the NBA and withdraw from class. The kid has two semesters going to summer and probably half the class. But just showing that he had some college training. Now, you talk about a system, and you talk about Willie Tiger. All right, John Calipari. All right, how about Scott Drew down at Baylor? Some of the kids went ahead and declared for the pros. But it's Florida State saying that by Leonard Hamilton. Most of the boys graduate because Leonard been there. Leonard understands. That's why we need more black coaches. But when he's trying to reach the kids that he knows, and then we criticize them for what they're using, that's tough. It's a cultural thing. Excuse me. And they've been trying to put the finger on the cultural pulse of our black athletes. It's sad. It is the saddest moment in the NCAA. But you can pay me $20 million to get out of town. Harold, you still there?
I'm here. I mean, they could fire me for less than 20.
But I know Mark's on the road. I can hear he's on the road. And it's just amazing how we overall, just it happens that we make concessions for these coaches. And Cam, there was a story before he got released by the Patriots, but he was listening to rap music.
Not taking a COVID shot.
Well, that too, but he was listening to rap music in the locker room. Okay, well, acid rock. Can you imagine how Deacon Jones and all them guys, Rosie Greer, back in the day, Bob Hayes had to listen to country and western. Had to do this. Now,
you know, they used to say it ain't but two types of music, country and western.
Yeah. Boy, we're going to give you a stand-up comedy. I'm going to be right there. But I'm just saying how we're doing with our kids. Get these kids to relate. Every big-time major program, you even look at Alabama. Alabama is full of brothers. Full. But guess who grandson made the team? He ain't even playing. Bear Bryant's grandson. Y'all didn't know that, did you? He playing for Alabama.
Yeah, I had heard about it.
You know, he'll get in. Saban has an obligation to put him in a game. They ain't say when and how long. They may put him on kickoff. Who knows? That's why I feel it's so important that we start getting our top of our tops as far as recruiting. And they need to come on home, get your degree, get a piece of a degree. Because our kids, like, this is the worst story in my entire life. There are a lot of bad ones, but I think this is the worst. Marcus Dupree. This was a boy with a man's body out of Philadelphia, Mississippi. Everybody wanted it. They camped out Texas and Oklahoma. They even moved the coaches in his area. Lucius Feldman, who is the brother of Leroy Dewey Feldman, they sent him. He was a brother, and I can't think of the brother's name, for University of Texas, to get Marcus Dupree. They recruited this kid. They did everything they could. They didn't send a white coach down to Philadelphia. I repeat, did not. They sent two brothers. So you can go in there and sit down with mama, have some lemonade, some tea. You know how we love iced tea. Put some lemons in it, some grits. Fish, everything from the rooter to the tutor or the hog. Y'all act like y'all don't remember them days. He get to Oklahoma. All you had to do is play ball. The boy go home one game between Thanksgiving and the bowl game. He gets some mama cooking, gained 20 pounds in a couple of weeks. Ran for 200 and something of Sun Bowl records. And you know what Barry Switzer said? If he didn't have the 200 pounds he gained, or whatever 100 pounds he gained, you know he gained on 200 pounds. The 100 pounds he gained, he could have ran 400 yards. He didn't say he was exceptional. He didn't say anything other than, can you imagine if he didn't gain that weight, he could have had 400 yards. Commodities. That's what we are. And they understand you got to bring a coach in that at least have some stake in the game with the little young guys. But again, Florida State got rid of their coach, $20 million. They patient with this one, but they're going to blame it on Willie. They're going to blame it on Willie. That's a shame. But we still keep sending our babies there to play ball. They'll give them a degree, but he'd be sneaking in the back closet to learn how to read, learn how to recognize his own name on a sheet of paper. Sad commentary. It is the top of the hour. You're listening to The World According to Drew. I have Mark in Atlanta. I guess he muted himself because he's driving along the way. We always appreciate his contributions.
I'm still here.
Yeah, we always appreciate your contributions. Harold Hubbard, Mainway got his ear on the streets in Dallas, primarily Oak Cliff, Texas. That's how we do it. That's what they always said. Down in Oak Cliff. Anyway, I got some things to talk about Oak Cliff, too, this morning, but we'll get to it. Just again, just so much, y'all, is going on. We just have to recognize, acknowledge. We can't be blind. We can't be blind to what is going on with our athletes. We need them to go places where they can grow. And when they grow, we have to go with it. We have to go with it. Because when they don't grow, they stay at home. We don't know. They can be a menace to society, not every kid. But they're so used to having everything. Let's have them in class. That's what we need to do. So if it's the Willie Tigers, the Charlie Strongs, who should be nothing more than the offensive coordinators, that Red McCombs. And I don't even think they have a liquor store anymore, Red McCombs. Same guy. Owned all the dealerships between Austin and San Antonio. He helped buy out Charlie Strong. Give me $20 million to get out of town. I'll leave the furniture in the house. Keep going. All right, look, I won't even spend it. I'll just keep moving. But in the spirit of football, it's that time of morning, folks. Let's kick it. Studio A this morning. Give you all the scores and highlights for the sports league, black colleges and universities, teaching schools for the CIAA, the SIAT, MEAC, and the SWAC. In football action over the week, Alabama A&M and the sweeper over for 30-27. Hampton defeats Howard 48-32. Central Hart over Morgan State 21-7. Tennessee State over Kentucky State 41-7. Norfolk State over Mississippi State 63-26. North Carolina Central was victorious over Winston-Salem 20-13. Houston over Meigs over Grambling had a big year this week 45-0. Clearview is victorious over Houston Baptist 37-27. McNeese over Southern 31-24. Stephen F. Austin over Mississippi Valley State 58-13. And out of Tampa, the Bulls and the Rattlers are still tangling because the Rattlers are always succeeding on my sports. You know how we do it. I know we won halftime, but it must have been a power outage because the game is still incomplete. Don't forget, this week is sunny South Dallas. The Tigers of Grambling State versus the Panthers of Purview and Cat Fight in Big D. You got to be here. We will. We'll cover it and give you highlights next week. This is it. Of course, New Wiggum, Black College Sports. Boy, it's getting good, Al. You got your suit? You gonna go get your hair cut? Don't go get it Saturday. You're gonna miss out on everything. I wanna say good morning to the Cowboys and Delphins. I know on MLK it's gonna be backed up. Wear your mask. I know the Delphins have some pretty masks they can wear. Brothers, you need to just be safe. We need to be on the boulevard because it's going to be thick. That's how they do it in Dallas. And I'm just hoping that we can get those Rattlers out here. We could use Cheryl, her connections. We get them out here. Not only do we have the Cotton Bowl, world-famous Cotton Bowl. We got Jerry's World. We got Globe Life Field. We got it all. And I think Globe Life is Cricket now, Harold. I think they changed names. So we have four majors. No, I take that back. We got two high school stadiums that are off the chain. Allen, $60 million for high school football, y'all. High school football, $60 million. Then they have a Shrine up in McKinney where the television screen or the scoreboard is almost bigger than most houses you see in Dallas. But that's what they do in Texas. And I'm trying to get some coaches on, some guys in football knowledge to see who have the better athletes, Texas or Florida. That's a whole other show. Harold, let's see what you got to say. Texas or Florida?
Texas.
What else to give us? I know you got it. Mark, how you flow with it?
You know I got to go with Florida with all them fast boys coming out of the muck from Belgrade.
Harold,
all they do is chase rabbits for fun. Huh?
Harold doesn't know anything about the muck.
You don't know nothing about that.
Harold,
then you got to come down to Miami.
The muck is right around Belgrade. If you don't know what Belgrade, I tell you, think about Dixie Crystals. I know Dixie Crystals is in Savannah, but there's sugar refineries down in the Everglades where it's always moist. And the dirt is jet black. And them kids run through the muck. That's why they call it the muck. Either Belgrade, Central, what's the other little city? Pahokee, that's it. Pahokee.
Mm-hmm.
They
South
run
Bay.
Through the muck. What's the other
mm-hmm.
bar?
South Bay.
Okay. All that.
That's
down
right
in the muck.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you this. Talent is good in both places. Little as it's known to everybody that Florida has not had middle school football in some time. I need to check with those who live in Florida right now. I know for a long time they did not have middle school football. And maybe I see Lonnie on if he can come on and tell us quickly if they have middle school football. But they play Pop Warner. You look at Amari Cooper, Bridgewater, Antonio Freeman. All these kids came out of one high school. I was getting the name everybody. Harold, you know, Roosevelt, Carter, all of them got some good kids. Great facilities. So hold on. We got Lonnie on the phone. Lonnie, is it still middle school football or not middle school football in Hillsborough County?
No, middle school. Only flag at middle school level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Harold, you hear that?
They got some 7-on-7s that they might be able to, you know, be part of, that kind of thing, but no organized tackle football at middle school level. Just flag.
Harold, they don't even play middle school football. Your boy is T.W. Brown. Your boy is Oliver Wendell Holmes. Your boy is Zayn Holmes. Adwell. Middle school football. And you got a state that produces great kids playing flag
mm-hmm.
football. So the great debate, who has the greatest
talent? So y'all play middle school tackle football out there?
Yes, sir. They can't play until they're in the seventh grade.
We had an eighth grader that was all-city defensive lineman. Now he's at Oklahoma playing linebacker.
Wow.
All-city. Eighth grade.
Georgia?
Eighth grade.
Was that in Georgia?
No, that was right there. That was in South Florida.
Okay, doing our time, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, Yeah, the past few years, the past 5 years, 6 years. He
well,
was playing with Morgan's son. Morgan's son played with Nick Bosa and his brother.
At St. Aquinas. Is that where it was?
Yeah. St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah, that's almost like another college.
Yeah.
It's almost
yeah,
like IMG. It ain't as big as IMG now.
But they almost are basically on that same level. They recruit those guys, give them scholarships. Because
mm-hmm.
I know my homeboy who went to play the fam, Gene Atkins, his son Geno Atkins, went there. And then, of course, he went to Georgia and then played for Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, those guys come after them. So
mm-hmm.
no different than, I guess, Jesuit here in Tampa, Drew. You know about Jesuit and Tampa Catholic. But Jesuit, I think, beat St. Thomas Aquinas, I think, in one of the opening football games this year.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the dollars. I heard you guys earlier talking about our athletes, you know. You know, everybody trying to get the economic come up, but can you imagine a world where, say, for a 2 or 3 year period, just to show and to really recognize the talent of just all these top tier black athletes chose only HBCUs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
But can you imagine if Bob Hayes went to University of Florida, what he would have done?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
People who are even slower than those at FAMU, Prairie View,
yeah.
Grambling.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about it is, you know, back in the day, you know, unfortunately, Jake had to get a call from the president to let Bob go run in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, he's a football player.
So, and he told him, and Jay Gaither told him, you can go run in the Olympics, but you got to fight for your spot when you come back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But one of the things I think, guys, and I've seen this over the years, and I've talked about this before, and then I got to go. I'm running a few minutes late for service. But, hey, these guys, if what I've noticed that if somebody didn't grow up in a city where there's an HBCU, or if they don't have parents or relatives that went to HBCU, there's not that same level. A lot of times they don't know the history of HBCUs, and they don't have that same appreciation. And, you know, they grew up rooting for, you know, one of the white colleges. And all of us got white, you know, predominantly white colleges that we may have as a favorite team or somebody we fond of we might root for. But if you grew up or you had a close relative or you went to a HBCU, you just have to mean you have a different level of appreciation for HBCU, and you're more apt to send your kids there. But everybody after the economic come up, so you know these parents and these kids trying to look at what they figure is their best way to that pro level and to that the economic come up. So that's my 2 cents on that.
Oh, absolutely, and you know, and everybody we always say everybody can't go to PWIs, everybody can't go to HBCUs. They all offer their own special gem in our lives. It's just that Harold always said, if it's a FAMU's going to get Pub, Delta, I try to do everybody, Delta, Kappa, AKAs, Sigmas, everybody, Q's, we do that because we know that we have each other. All right, there are a lot of differences in our organizations, but when the rubber meets the road, we have each other. And not to say that nobody is ahead of each other, but our goals are similar in what we try to do. There are other organizations in our neighborhoods, whether it's the League, Charmed, I'm trying to think for the guys, Idlewild here in Dallas is a group of young professionals, but they're getting older, but professionals here in the Dallas area, they do good things. So we try to stay connected in this world that we're not connected because we've moved out. We don't live in Tuskegee neighborhood. We don't live over in in the Bronx area, Liberty City. We don't live in Carver City where I grew up anymore. You know, we've moved out, which you get us a little bit more bang for your buck. But times have changed. But we didn't have the option of moving or living somewhere else. I think we were a lot closer. We depended on each other a little bit more. And if you went to Blake High School in Tampa or Middleton, it was nothing to come up to Lincoln and play or go to Shanks over in Quincy. Harold, when those were schools, like you would say, you had Lincoln, you had Madison and Roosevelt. And then they started migrating over to Carter and Kimball. If you go back, Booker T, even in Dallas, when they didn't have options, people were a lot closer. Everybody knew everybody. But we've grown. Our schools have grown with society. Is it better? The resources are better, but we don't have that kinship like we used to. That's our problem. And then now that we have kinship and a financial signs between us, we definitely don't. We definitely are creating the haves and have-nots among ourselves. When we need to try to work together for the betterment of our neighborhoods. That is the key thing. So a lot is going on. Harold, a great debate still. Dallas, Texas football, which is great. I love it. I love just what Texans, how excited people are. And I thank God that I'm not a crook, because if you go to Sherman and Denison, the whole town goes. McKinney, the whole town is going. And people just get, look, they can have their way, because the police had the game too. And it's just a shame that these schools are not preparing our kids like they should. And these kids are much better than we are. They have more resources, and they're just not taking advantage of the opportunity. There are some kids that may go to West Point, may go here, may go there. But how about the kid that's just a good athlete? What are we doing to make him a better person, make him a better student? We hamper him or her by saying they don't have to do the work, but they make sure that they're there on Friday night. We as parents, we as uncles and aunts, we have to stop this, because we know if our nephew or our niece was to hurt themselves and they've been babied through the system, what will they be able to do? Will they be able to rebound and go to class and do what they need to do in order to be successful? I don't think so, because the system has babysitted them only because they can perform. And that's why we need to step up. If your kids are in school and you notice a kid that's like that, let's get him some help. There are organizations, social organizations, that might have study hall or some resources that can help that child. Because, you know, that old adage, there ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. And they've been chased by everybody trying to get them to their school. But what are they doing once you get them into school? They're running. If they can't run, then they kick them out. Tell them to go to the NFL. And when you have grown men in this society, and some WNBA, I must say, most of them do get out of school. Very few, they can't hold their own. But those are things that we need to really focus on for our kids, making sure that when we drop the baton in this race that we call life, they'll be able to pick the baton up and continue to run the next generation. That's what we need to do. And I ask each of you who can hear my voice, let's make a difference in the lives of the kids, not only that we come in contact with, but the ones that we can reach through others. We got to do it. We must do it. Because if we don't, we're going to fade right into sunset with the rest of them. So, folks, we got a lot on our table. A lot on our table. Again, if you're in the Dallas area or somewhere within shouting distance of Dallas, it's a 4 o'clock kickoff this coming Saturday. The press conference is tomorrow. Cheryl, I may step up in there. Look out for a brother. Thank you very much. The 25th at Cotton Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. If you look at the Ernie Davis story, that is the same Cotton Bowl that they stepped on him. They didn't want him. He won the MVP, but they wouldn't even let him accept the trophy or the MVP in the hotel. It's going to be a cat fight. That's what we need to call it, a cat fight at the Cotton Bowl. Panthers and Tigers. And we'll, FAMU will be playing Grambling for homecoming. That's going to be interesting. A lot of friends of mine from Grambling is going to try to make their way down to Tallahassee. We hope that they still will have homecoming. A lot of our historically black colleges and universities have canceled, mainly your smaller private schools, Morehouse, Spelman. I'm not quite sure in Tuskegee, but a lot of them are bowing out for homecoming to cancel. But, you know, some of our larger HBCUs, especially the public ones, they really depend on it. It's unfortunate that they have to depend on the revenues of the football games and everything to support the program. So it's going to be an interesting moment throughout. And we just got a lot to eat on right now as it relates to this COVID. I'll throw some numbers out there and trying to open this society back up. Folks, you can still get things done. Make sure you wear your mask. I tell people all the time, I don't like the mask, I can't breathe. Well, I'd rather for you to struggle breathing with a mask rather than not wear one and don't have to worry about breathing at all. I couldn't put it any simpler. And then they look at you like you're crazy, and then they get it. Wear your mask. And, folks, just wearing it over your mouth is not protection. You breathe in through your nose. So cover your nose. Don't just do your mouth because you're not breathing in through your mouth. Be smart.
But, again, more importantly, take your vitamin D. Take at least 5,000 units of vitamin D.
Well, you just know what he's just like popcorn. You don't know when he's going to pop up. I tell you.
I'm just saying, man, you know, the science is saying ain't nobody dying or having big complications if their blood level's over 50 nanograms per milliliter. But look at the science. Look at University of
right.
Chicago experiments they're doing with black people.
With black people, I got you. But look at this. If those folks are not getting supplements, I think, and I've been in a healthcare business, and I'm telling you from a clinician standpoint, all the cases that we've seen as of late, people have not been vaccinated. I don't know, Mark, if they've built their immune system with vitamin C, vitamin D, and everything else. But right now,
I'm just saying, look at the science of vitamin D. I mean, you know, look at the science that they're not talking about. And ask why Fauci takes 6,000 units of vitamin D, 10 times the recommended daily allowance for vitamin D. Why does he take that much? And Congress needs to ask him those questions. Nobody's asking him those questions.
Right. Well, those are very good points. And whether you're taking your vitamin C or D or you've gotten your vaccination, still wear your mask. Don't sit up there. That's like going to a fire with gasoline underwear on. You're asking to get burned up running into fire with gas on. So when you're in an area and you don't have your mask on, you're asking for it. So still wear your mask, whether you take the vaccination or not. But you have to build some immunity, whether it's the supplement that Mark is talking about or take the shot. Now, Mark, there are a lot of government entities, there are a lot of private sector entities that are forcing people to take their vaccination. Is that a good thing or bad thing from your viewpoint?
Well, I mean, from a business standpoint, I guess it's good. But, you know, I guess we haven't experienced in a while a pandemic of this magnitude. So it's not a bad thing for the public in general. But unless you're doing, you know, the things like what I do to take care of my health, you know, then I would say, you know, it's not so good a thing. But, you know, for people in general, yeah.
Right. Well, here's the thing. A lot of people who are confronted with this at their jobs, you know, they're forced to go against their own principles, which is a little unfortunate. But what do we do? What do we do? It's come down to that now. It has truly come down to that. And we have our brother from the 504. Good morning. Welcome to the world according to Drew. Did you catch that last question, Eric?
Yeah, I called in about the God bless each and every one of y'all there in the listening audience. I was calling about the homecoming. Tuskegee, they also canceled their homecoming. And the same day I heard it, you know, in New York City, they're going to have the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade. So it's interesting how one small institution, like you said, had to cancel, while you big institutions like Macy's, they're going to have their parade. But Tuskegee did cancel theirs out.
Right. Well, Tuskegee, Spelman, I'm not sure about Howard yet.
Morehouse.
Morehouse. And they're usually your private schools that don't have the numbers that a lot of your public ones do. So, you know, it's a decision. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's a money decision. And you look at Macy's, all the money they put in, the sponsors, the people that get the benefit of having that parade, you know, that's something to consider as well. So you have that
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Eric, what do you think if jobs forces you to take their vaccine?
Well, you know, they said the religious exemption is still in effect, even though some people say it's not. I heard other sources say that, you know, religious exemptions are still in effect. So you have to research that to see if that's going to be an option that you can use or not. Yeah, otherwise, you know, you're going to have to, if you're going to keep the job, you may have to go along with the program or really venture out on your own and start your own business. You know, that way you have more control and independence. It's easier said than done. You may not be able to do that overnight. But, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, if you decide not to get the vaccine, you have to come up with your own financial resources. So you may end up for the better in the long run financially of starting your own business. So, but they're definitely putting on political pressure to get people to get the vaccine, you know.
You said a very key word there, political.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are putting money into these programs. The
and you mentioned the key word, too, money. Money.
Yeah. Well, you know, the old ad is, it's all about money. Ain't a damn thing funny. It's all about the money. So those things are putting people between a rock and a hard spot. I can't make any decision for any household. Now, if I lived in your household, you know, we got some talking, we got some explaining to do to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Only can control your household. But when these companies are putting their foot forward, especially these government companies, you know, it's almost like you can't win unless you go ahead and go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very unfortunate. They take the choice away from you. Your choice is either stay employed or find you some work.
Right.
And
right.
That's the hardcore fact. You know, Mark always telling us read history and things, but sometimes folks
when you're reading tags and stuff, look and see what kind of references or where they're getting their information. Do we ever read what's behind the article, what's the conclusion, the references, where they got there, where they drew their conclusions? That's just like if you're in school, you write, and they're going to see how you quoted a reference. That's just it, to make sure you didn't willy-dilly or you have a view, your basis is, or your conclusion are based upon the resources that's how they do it. And now the government is forced on everybody to have a government contract. If you are a government employee and it's part of your employer status, if you choose not to, then you choose not to work. And that's where the widespread of these folks with the government contract, Lockheed, all of that, that is going right down the pipe, right through their system as well. The airline industry.
The airlines. I was about to mention the airlines. Yeah.
Because who pay their bills? Other than us and the government. And they're regulated by the FAA. So, yeah, it's like dang if you don't, dang if you do. So, we're at this point in our lives where a lot of key decisions need to be made. A lot of people, you know, again, Mark always references, you know, when he makes a statement, he'll reference the resources. But we'll read and not see if it's a credible resource or what. We just, hey, don't take a shot because it's going to make you look like a deer. Okay? When did they find people looking like deer? Don't tell me TikTok. Don't tell me Instagram if we change it like that. But if it's been cases of it, people who turn it into deer. Then you have something to fall back on. So right now, we're really at the crossroads. And I really question, with the people staying at home, have they received any breaks on their car insurance now that they're driving less miles? I got an answer for that. Nope. So some people are still making money in the midst of this pandemic. Should we hold them accountable? Absolutely. What are you doing for us that we're doing for the country while we're doing things for this country, for the safety? But you can't drive around without car insurance. So it's like you're strapped. You're actually strapped. It's about 35 minutes after the hour. And we just take care of business for the World According to Drew. Again, don't forget the Grambling Prairie game this weekend here in Dallas. It's going to be a doozy. Please wear your mask, those who hear me. Encourage your friends. I know the spirits are going to be high. Spirits for your favorite team and spirits in your cup. Tell people to be careful. Keep your social distancing. It's going to be hard. Prairie View Band, Grambling Band, the Battle of the Band at halftime. We'll give you a report on that next week or how it completed. If who out blew who, that seems to be the highlight of our historically black colleges and universities. I love to ask Mark this because he went to Florida State. Mark, when you go to a Florida State game, what do you do at halftime?
I was in the band at Morris Brown in 79, thank you.
But when you transferred to Florida State, what did you do at halftime?
I hadn't gone to a game that first year.
Well, when you go down, what do you do at halftime?
What do I do at halftime?
Uh-huh.
Sit in my seat as much as refreshments cost. I don't need none of that stuff. All those unhealthy refreshments they have, I stay in my seat.
All right. So everybody over 50 years old, and I love Bart like a brother. But the old folks used to say, boy, he is stingy as Jack Benny.
I'm always entertained by a band. I mean, regardless of, you know, right, FSU, they play some of the same stuff, talking out of the side of your neck, all that stuff.
LSU is doing the same thing. They're getting music from Southern. They're trying to keep up. And now think about Larry Graham and talking out of the side of your neck. That's been 30 years ago. These kids weren't even born. 30, 40 years ago.
Larry Graham. That was Larry Graham?
Blackman. Larry Blackman. Cameo.
You confused me.
I was just y'all paying attention. That's all right, I got you. Yeah, cameo.
Okay.
Outside of your neck. And some of the kids that are playing, I'm like, well, how do you talk out of the side of your neck? You know, what's really happening? Well, when you go to a black college game, you sit through halftime, and there's a chance that you could miss the whole third quarter trying to get something to eat, because everybody wants to eat after halftime. You know, the landscape of black college football is definitely different than the landscape of your traditional PWI. Truly, truly different. And, you know, some people, when they come to SEC,
that's in everything we do, you know. we stay in church longer for the music. That's in everything.
Well, we do. We have a mutual friend that plays at a church every Sunday.
Preachers got to have an organ player to hype this sermon. They don't do that at the white church.
They get out of 15 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Boy, you wrong for that one. They got a hype man.
The preacher got to have
a hype man. Yeah.
Well, you know, they say hype, but we used to call it, they need a wing person. They either
make a wing man
who's playing for
you. You missed that cue, the preacher going to be mad.
Yeah. Now, he'll slap the pulpit before he let you miss that cue. And stomp his foot. But hey,
yeah.
Andrew, I had to take a quick pause for the calls. But I would be remiss going back to the state fair if I didn't miss.
We done lost you.
Say it again, Harold. We missed it.
Can y'all?
Got to get your connection together, Harold.
Yeah, we may have lost.
Hey, I'm working on it. All right, how's that?
Yeah, good.
You said about Linda? You got the answer in one hand?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, I'm holding the fall in one hand and a wire hanger in the other.
With a ball on?
Yes, sir. But, hey, Andrew. State Fair. Let's get back to the State Fair real quick.
Okay.
I have a childhood friend of mine. I was trying to get them to come on, but they already in fair mode. They're going to have a booth at the fair called the Shrimp Dock. I was trying to get a location on it, and I will.
What's it called?
The Shrimp Dock. Or they may be in with a Hurley Southern Kitchen also. But they're going to be at the fair on Admiral Nimitz Circle. But you know me, I just walk around the fair till I find food, you know.
Right.
You were speaking of getting food at halftime during the game, well, we can fill up at the fair before we go to the game or after.
True.
And this is
I want you to be careful. Yeah, be careful. It's going to be hot, hopefully, dry. But you notice now, when Texas OU, which will be the following weekend, when they come in,
They go at 11. So now they got all the daylight to do the fair so they can get out of our area. That's their mindset.
Yeah.
We used to come at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Now we come in at 4, which they complain. Now we get more time at the fair after the game. So at least 3 hours at the end. Because if the game starts at 4, it may be finished over at 8. With the pageantry and everything. But, folks, I'm telling you, when I first moved to Texas, I went to the fair. And I had never seen a turkey leg the size of the turkey leg they had here in Dallas. I called my parents and told them that it's the biggest drumstick. I said, Mama, they say everything big in Texas. Well, they got the biggest chicken drumstick I've ever seen. I was thinking Fred Flintstone, Wilma with the bowl in her hand, all of that. But you're talking about something good. 80,000 people in the past. Now, I know the pandemic, it may be less. But years back, they said 80,000 people came to the state fair in one day. Harold, do we know what they're frying up this year? Check and see. They've had fried Milky Ways. They've had fried this, fried Twinkies. They fry everything out here in Texas. Everything. And if you get your finger too close, they might even fry your finger. We're going to look at it for State Fair of Texas. We're going to look at that. I know there are going to be great activities. I tell you what I did one year. I'm glad I did it, but boy, they sure call you. It's been about 4 years. I called to get the gutter on my place, and boy, they called till I picked up the phone. That's what they did. They continued to do, and they still calling. Can we do the other side of the aisle? But, you know, they have great exhibit, great things, showcasing. I do love going to the animals. Going back there, I had a little bit of country in me. I love that. This year they're going to have frozen ranch water and lobster corn dogs. There's 25 new foods at
the fair. Have you seen who won the contest this year yet?
Which one's there?
You know, they usually have a food contest before the fair.
Right. I'm looking in the morning news now. As you know, we do have a partnership with the Dallas Morning News. I tell you, Cheryl working hard. All right, they have something again. It's called, oh, boy. If you get a chance, go to DallasMorningNews.com. They have both ranch water and lobster corny dogs. 25 new state fair foods for 2021. If you don't pay for the subscription, you know something's going to pop up every 20 minutes, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
So you got brisket griddle, fried Halloween. They even have a chicken. Now, Harold, I'm kind of skeptical of this. They have a meal. And the meat is in the shape of Texas. They have bacon jam, corn bombs with your hush puppies with bacon and ranch, bag of egg rolls, Big Tex bowl, that's mac and cheese, bucket of fries, chicken on a stick, country fried shrimp ribs, that's a new one, Dallas hot bird dog, deep-fried pancakes, deep-fried, deep-fried peanut butter. And, I tell you, they fry anything.
And you better not keep, you better not let your rings or your finger drop into grease, because they'll fry that too. They fry everything right there. If the cholesterol high, take your medicine. Don't get caught up in the hype.
That's funny.
Oh, then they fry everything? Take your medicine.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you. Now, here's something called Gobble Balls. It's a team over at the Ferris Wheeler's Barbecue. Gobble Balls are turkey nuggets, deep fried, served with barbecue sauce. So instead of chicken nuggets, you're going to get turkey nuggets. Lobster corny dog. Quesabara, perhaps the tenderest taco in Texas right now. The quesabara is served the traditional way. And each taco is stuffed with steak, cheese, and then grilled. I'm surprised that ain't fried. Southern fried lemon ice box pie balls. You know, I think I missed my calling. I should have been in the grease business, working for Crisco. Boy, this time they making money, a lot of money.
Hey, Andrew.
Yes, sir.
Hey, check this out, Drew. I also, man, you know, I was telling you that I grew up with the young lady that's doing the shrimp doc. That's,
yeah.
Those young ladies have been entrepreneurs since they were very young, man. They were the owners of one of the most successful salons in Oak Cliff at one point in time called the Dynamic Duo. They're two sisters, Roz and Melissa Stafford. They're both married now, so don't make me say they married names. But one of the sisters also, for you cigar aficionados or whatever y'all call yourself, is the owner of the Smoking Jacket in Cedar Hill. I don't know if you've ever been there.
No, never been there. And I tell you, the popularity
You know, it's more women hang out at these cigar bars than men sometimes. And this one young lady, she owns the Smoking Jacket in Cedar Hill. Like I said, they've been entrepreneurs their whole life, man. They were young ladies when they opened up their shop in Oak Cliff. Then they moved to a bigger shop in Duncanville. One sister did male and the other did hair for the ladies. They had one of the only black-owned spas that I know of in Dallas, I mean, where you could actually legitimately get a massage and all of that for both men and women. Like I said, they've been entrepreneurs all their life, man. I just wanted to give them a quick shout-out about the fair.
We definitely got to get them on. We got to get them on.
Yeah, well, they already in fair mode preparing all their recipes, but I'm going to try to get them on.
Right. We're going to get them on before the year's out. But here okay. I mean, it's just amazing. Everything, I tell you, everything fried. Texas fried Frito pie. Frito corn chips.
Oh, man, that's a heart attack. That's a heart attack.
I'm telling you, y'all better take your cholesterol medicine. Go ahead and have your insurance cards ready. Now, I will tell this. If you guys already got high blood pressure, no, just go by and smell it. That's all you got to do. Don't eat it. Go by and smell it. And we don't want you falling down. But it's just amazing. Everything is fried. Fried gumbo. Cookie butter ice cream sandwich. Oh, boy. Well, I hope they're using Crisco. But those are some of just a few things that you're going to get at the State Fair of Texas, folks. This is the world's largest fair right here in Dallas, Texas, at the historical Cotton Bowl right at the center. And I think back, Harold, when they were trying to look for a place to put Jerry's World, I thought that right there at Fair Park would have been the best place for Jerry's World. And an infrastructure of the train bringing you to the game. But they didn't want to put it in sunny South Dallas. If you know sunny South Dallas, that's where we live. But they'd rather take the homes of people in Arlington, in that area, eminent domain, taking their homes just to put up a multi-million dollar stadium and people losing their house. Yeah, you give me $100,000, you can't eat five for $100,000.
Can you imagine the amount of people they would have displaced in South Dallas, though?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think that what they're doing now, Harold, they put that on a simmer. Had the stadium been put over there, what they're doing now would have been on a hotter fire. You know, they've changed the, I always talk about the fire station is your first clue. They put two brand-new fire stations within a mile apart over in South Dallas, one on Fitzhugh and one on Pennsylvania. That was the first clue. People are coming in there. You see houses that don't fit the neighborhood right now, but they're going to fit the neighborhood eventually. If you look over there on South Boulevard, what's the other one? Park Road, a lot of old houses. But you know what? They haven't changed those houses much, Harold. You see how they're preserving Park Road and South Boulevard?
Yeah, I do.
How much new construction do you see in those two or three streets over there between Al Lipscomb and Martin Luther King? Might be two or three new houses that wasn't there from the original setup.
They're not big as those other ones either.
No. The only place they compare with South Boulevard and Park Road is Swiss Avenue. They may not be as tall, but the quality of housing is very close. You know, we let ours run down a little bit, but you can see the character. You can see the ambiance of those homes that are in that area.
You ought to come through my old neighborhood. I mean, I'm talking about right next door to my parents' old house. This is a McMansion.
Yeah. Well, see, when you grow up in a country club neighborhood like you did, see, they know they got their golf course. That's why they're moving there.
There you go.
And then
but
some
I didn't
of the
have
kids,
my own county. We didn't have our own county in Florida, though. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. I hear you. But y'all had it somewhere near Nacogdoches or Natchitoches, somewhere down there. But I'm just saying, the idea of what people have been doing, what people, you know, how kids are letting the neighborhood go, I don't want to stay over there. Come on. At least fix it up, rent it out, continue to have ownership of those properties where your folks, you know, they had to break ground. Because if you go back 70 years ago, we wasn't living in those neighborhoods. But then you got a piece of the rock. You moved in. And by you moving in, you know, you got all this going over. It's a shame that we're losing out. And we're all guilty to a certain degree because we're in this. If you're guilty, I'm guilty. If I'm guilty, you're guilty. Because we
That's
want
right.
something
hey,
big and better.
You know what I just thought about? We didn't give a shout-out to the high school football this week. We had a historic moment. Coach Samples, Duncanville, beat DeSoto. They beat the brakes off DeSoto for his 300th. Win combined between Skyline and Duncanville. 300
and don't forget Lincoln. He used to be the coach at Lincoln.
Oh, okay. That's right. He did. He was at Lincoln, too. So some of them victories are Lincoln. But, man, I mean, and you have to understand, this ain't no 2A and 1A football we talked about here, guys. What is it, 12, 5A now? Those are some major
five
wins.
And six,
man.
Eight. 5 and 6A.
Yeah, right. So those are no little, you know, pulled up cities that he's beating. like I say, he beat the brakes off DeSoto Friday night.
Well, you know, DeSoto,
they're not what they used to be, but they still a good powerhouse.
Right, but DeSoto's had some issues in there with their superintendent, should I say their headquarters that run, the operational headquarters for the school district.
Right.
So a lot of people have gotten out, but they're still a powerhouse in their own right down there with the girls, basketball, boys, basketball.
Got to give a shout out, man. My family down there running that school now, DeSoto High School, Miss Monica Smith, Dr. Smith, and Dr. Williams, two female young cousins of mine. One's the head principal and one's an assistant. So I want to give a shout out to DeSoto, even though, like I said, the Coach Samples put it on them Friday night. They still representing and educating the kids.
But, where are we going to go now?
Okay. Well, he wasn't ready for me. I saw a light and I went back. So, Cheryl, I'm going to come to you real quick as we wind it down. You know, I saw a light on her. Let's see if she come back. I don't want to catch her.
Hello?
Good morning. Good morning. We can hear you. Good morning.
Hey, boss lady. Hey, boss.
Good morning to all of you, and thanks for your insightful commentary as you discussed a topic that was only missing one thing, and that was a female perspective.
Well, here we go. You got 120 seconds.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to say anything. I will just say I want to give a shout out to Marva Sneed, because even though we do have this wonderful partnership with the Dallas Morning News, and between the collaboration of Dallas Morning News and Texas Metro News, Marva actually went and covered the fair and foods and everything, and so you can read that in Texas Metro News.
Okay.
Okay. And I just want to give a shout out, and I also want to say that you said everybody can't go to an HBCU and everybody can't go to a PWI, but wasn't there a time when that was the case?
Oh, absolutely.
So I'd like to take away, the takeaway is that we got to start promoting our own, and I don't mind shaming people who won't even consider. If you're black and you won't even consider an HBCU, I got issues with you.
At least one of the schools. But, Cheryl, we're going to open up with that next week, because we'll be talking HBCU after the Grambling and Prairie View. We thank you both and everyone that's been a part. But, you know, I hate to say we got to get out of here. We got to keep the bills flowing. Cheryl, thank you as always for the opportunity. We'll be in touch
with
you.
Well, if we didn't pay you as much as we pay you, we could stay on longer.
You're right, but I try to follow what I can. Harold, appreciate you. Everybody else, as always, as we get out of here, hey, support your HBCUs, support your PWI, support who you want. Go to the state fair. Don't forget Grambling Prairie View. Going out on a high note. Here we go. Have a good one.